that most of us are looking down most of the time at, like, our cell phones, staring into the black mirror. So it's like we're looking down all the time. Don't look up. Meaning, if you're looking up, not even at the sky, but just up in front of you, then it's like you're actually you're paying some attention to what's really going on. If you're staring at the phone, then you're staring into what's being fed to you all
right,
the time,
okay,
and you're looking
okay.
down into it.
Yeah,
yeah,
look,
you're
look
looking
down,
down into it
through your reality filter. Don't look up at reality itself.
Right. And you know what else I found out? Have you noticed? I don't know if you know where you stay at. If they're showing like a lot of chiropractor commercials. But I know here in Cincinnati, we have like three chiropractors that have bought up all the time on the damn TV, and then you have all these other ones I'm starting to see on these other channels. I think that the reason you're seeing all these damn chiropractors starting to get a lot of business is because with people looking down so much, a lot of people's spines are out of whack. You start to give yourself pains in the neck, which could give you headache, all type of pains in the back, in the groin, everything else, your legs, it could set them off. I think that our cell phone culture, this like smartphone culture, has given us more than just these, when they talk about, you know, send out a radioactive stuff and everything and all of that. No, I think it's given us physical ailments because we're always crouched over. And I think that's why you're seeing like a lot of different chiropractors and a lot of masseuses. People have to go and get massages and everything. Man, you got folks who don't even do anything athletic. They don't go work out, don't do nothing. I understand stress and all of that, but it's like their bodies are now in the shape of somebody who actually needs a real massage, and a lot of it is from just looking at your damn cell phone, having your back, your neck bent down all day to where you're not looking up.
Right.
It's a business.
That's
it's
a great
point. Yeah, it's almost like people, it's turned certain businesses into like ambulance chasers.
Yeah, and it's going to be exacerbated by lockdown culture. And lockdown culture is the norm. I used to talk about how, okay, you look at the number of hours that you play video games, the average person growing up, how many hours does the average person spend in a simulated outer space environment, no less, sitting in a basement, not really leaving, hours at a time? To me, the whole video game culture itself was preparation for this.
I was just about to say that. The video game culture started there.
Yep, simulation as replacement. And getting you acclimated to sitting down for long periods of time. And of course, this idea of our bodies contorting, yeah, that's probably intentional. It's like H.G. Wells' The Time Machine. They want the masses to become the Morlocks. We're going to be locked down underground, and eventually we will reflect that in our appearances.
Right. And you know what? I had somebody recently within the last few days. They were talking about Mars and everything, and then when I heard you earlier and the other caller talking about, like, you know, Wernher von Braun and, you know, everything, it's like I think that's the missing link, is that the general public doesn't know these people, and no matter how much we spit these names and we say and we tell people to go and research these people, it's not important enough to them. I think that it's like okay, I'm going to give you an example of something that I think mainstream media took from us. And I'll say us meaning like those of us who talk online and we just kind of ask questions and we discuss things. Remember when they came with the commercials where they were doing what's his name that went up in the capsule and looked at the Earth?
Yeah, Shatner.
And no, not Shatner. The guy from a while ago. Damn, I forgot his name. Right. You know who I'm talking. He went up in the capsule. Him and his brother.
They did. Bezos and his brother. went up there. That was in before that. It was
the guy from a long time ago that they did the Hennessy commercial or something where he went up and looked out the castle.
August Picard. That's right. Yeah, it August was Picard. Water when he went up
August
high
Picard.
Enough. Yes.
I think that his name came up so much because when I went back and I looked over the analytics on Google, his name was one of the most searched for a while, and I think that's why they started making the commercials about it because it goes back to when I did the last call and I said they'll put out information to then make us start to sound cartoonish because you'll put it on a commercial for maybe like some alcohol. Know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. So for example, for people who have not seen this, August Picard was the first person to go up to the stratosphere, and he used a pressurized capsule, and he said the Earth looked. He didn't see any curve. He didn't see any curve.
Right.
He said it appeared flat with upturned edges. Whatever he said, it didn't curve down. However, this was being used by so many flat earthers, and it was brought up so often that Wikipedia changed it, and they said August Picard was the first man to see the curve of the Earth. And then that commercial came out. And so I'm thinking, there's a connection here. They want to control our perceptions, and sometimes they find out we're looking at something and they have to bury it. We've seen this happen very, very recently. On the 22nd of February, Elton John nearly crashed his plane, and there were witnesses. And so there was this headline about the horrifying spectacle of Rocket Man nearly dying on 222. Well, coincidentally, this is 2 years from the day that Rocket Man, Mad Mike Hughes, did his launch. And I think, we've noticed this actually, that they are continually doing stories to drown out things that they don't want people to find. So if you search Rocket Man Crash 222, you're more likely to find Elton John. And I don't think these are coincidences. It's part of the info war.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. What it kind of makes me think about is what it kind of does is it gives premise to the whole Mandela situation where it's like with the whole – I'm going to tell you something. I thought about – when I think about the whole Mandela-like effect situation, and the reason that I'm bringing that up is because – whenever you're dealing with like any type of history, it seems like anything Mandela affected, quote unquote, is always something that only somebody of a certain age bracket can really embrace. It's not something that you'll have maybe, okay, it's not something that like you'll have my son who'll be 30, it's not something, or my other son that's like, you know what I'm saying, 20, it's not something you'll have somebody say that it's like they can recognize one in their generation. This is always something from back when we were like, you know what I'm saying, children, and that's why I think it's almost like the Mandela effect is almost to me like a lightweight ripple psyop they sent out years ago to see what it would do, and this is the bounce back effect. When you started having people saying, oh, well, things have changed and everything, I'm thinking like, okay, do people realize that like businesses rebrand? And they don't have to tell the public. Hell, if you don't go and look it up, you'll never know. They may change the name of something. That's just for things where the name, where people say the name has changed or whatever. And it's like, okay, so what? Shit, if the name has changed, the name has changed. So what? What does that mean? You still haven't showed me where it's like, okay, I will believe the Mandela effect. I want all the damn Mandela effect smoke because I've went and looked up stuff and did my own personal Mandela effects that I saw off the stuff that I saw on the internet. And it's like I could debunk all of it. So I think what it is, it was a lightweight ripple psyop they sent out years ago. And it's like what we're seeing now is a lot of people didn't know about how businesses rebrand. A lot of people don't know about how they can change information. When the internet came, available to the public where we could all be on it, like I said, the most dangerous thing is that we can all talk amongst each other. But we also have to realize that it's like, even though we're talking to like one another, they still control this vehicle that we're talking over. So they can censor information. Like you said, August Picard said one thing, Google changed it to another. And I think right now, what we're seeing is this Fahrenheit 451, where they're getting rid of information. When they got rid of all the physical books and they started telling people to get rid of all the physical books and everything, it gave credulence to when they start changing things online, like Wikipedia. Now the whole world, now we live in a Wikipedia type world where it's like you could change facts now. That's the reason we now have, you can't even just say facts now, because now we have terms like alternative facts, alternative truth. What the hell is a damn alternative truth? See, it's like in these scenarios, nobody wants to be wrong. So yes. It's like what it does, it keeps a social confusion as to where you'll never come to the truth if you're part of the general consensus, because you're given a script to where nobody is ever wrong. We're just supposed to just let everything go as it is. Don't question. Live in this box where they sell you this crazy ass world that you already live in. Stare at your black mirror and take your commands and live through them. And when you decide to die, I'm gonna tell you something. And then they gonna start selling your ass your own expiration date, like the show Upload. You ain't even gonna have to wait until you're gonna quote unquote die. I think that you're gonna have a choice as to where you could decide to basically donate your physical self while you go ahead and you let them do whatever they're going to do. I don't want to make any type of assumptions, like, you know, upload your consciousness, whatever. But I think what you're basically going to do is, what they're getting you ready for is like the Matrix, basically physically for real, where it's like you really think you're dead and your ass are really still physically be alive somewhere while they're basically sucking your ass dry like a battery. But you've already sold yourself, because in the metaverse, you can buy real estate. You could do everything else. You can have a whole life. People have a wife and children in the metaverse now. That's the reason I'm saying, why couldn't you do like the show Upload, Tim, and say, okay, I say, like, Tim, next week, man, I'm tired. I got enough money. I'm going to go ahead and die. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, and just upload myself.
And it's green. So you save the planet a little bit by going up early.
I save the planet. I'll become a Matrix battery. I don't know this, but that's what I'll become. And it's like, and I was trying to, like, tell somebody about that when we was talking about this Mars conversation. I was saying, like, man, listen, you're not going to Mars. What they're going to do, man, they're going to ship your ass somewhere, probably over to, like, a China underground somewhere, in one of those big-ass amusement parks that they got underground. You can look them up on Google, all that type of stuff. And I look at it like, if they can make a civilization with a big-ass Disney-style world underground, why couldn't they make Mars any place? So it's like they'll sell you these tickets. They'll send you somewhere. Maybe Mars may be even outside of our perimeter of this quote-unquote ice wall, which I don't believe is an ice wall. I think it's just the restricted perimeter that we can go. Mars may be somewhere outside that perimeter, or Mars might be right here somewhere where they just have your ass somewhere working, like a gulag.
Yeah, I agree with this, and you brought up Upload, and this idea in the show Upload where people are having their consciousness uploaded into this metaverse before their body expires, yeah, that's, to me, is almost like they're bringing back the notion of limbo, where you have family members who died unbaptized or they died in sin, so you can pay the church and maybe buy them a better situation up there. And in Upload, they actually have in-app purchases. So their loved ones here on Earth are paying for their dead relatives in the metaverse to have their little experiences out there.
That's the reason I said they're selling you your crazy world that you already live in. They put it in a box through some damn glasses or whatever. And like I said, I think the next thing is this. It's not even going to be to where you even have to have on your glasses. Because it's like, remember when we first had like 3D movies where you had to have the little red and blue lens glasses?
Yes.
Little paper glasses. I think that it's like what we're looking at, we're in that paper glasses phase right now. I think it's basically going to be, and I put this in my book, I think it's basically going to be to where when you get logged into your Wi-Fi signal, so to speak, your hotspot, that's going to be your personal meta, your hotspot. And you'll be able to basically move it and take it with you wherever you want to go in the house. Like, it could be five of y'all in the house, you, your wife, and the three kids, and it's like each one of y'all can really have your own particular destination, your own world within the house through your Wi-Fi signal, so to speak.
I think you're onto something. Listen to the phonetic resemblances here. You got cell phone, iPhone.
Yep.
I think these technologies were all about getting us into our matrix pods.
Yep. I've been saying that for years, man. And it's like, and that's the reason it's like, I always felt like, I said, man, even though I can call and talk about it, I started writing a book and just putting these thoughts into it, because it's like, where else could it go? These are just those logical questions. And that's why, like I said, if we can see things like I was talking about the kid when you were showing the guy going off about the kid in school, like, and everything, these things are happening in this world right now that we live in, our physical world. If they can put that in a box and sell it to you, and then have in-app purchases that actually tap into how you think, how you process information, they've won the game. And then they can sell you an expiration date, because we already know that, you know, your birth certificate, like, and everything, has money on it. It's a big ass account number with a CUSIP. So it's like, all they have to do, they get you to sign your own will, like, and all of that, sign your own death date. You decide when you want to be uploaded. They go ahead, take you, do whatever they're going to do, and then they take your body, put your ass in a pod somewhere, and use you until your physical body is no more to use, and then they'll probably take and use that slush for something, start making hamburgers out of you, sell you to the gym. You know, there's going to be no waste. Soylent Green.
Yes. Yeah, hey, it's the ultimate in recycling, and that's where we're headed. And the cult is ultimately
Go
about.
Green.
Yep. The green world order. You cover a lot of great material here. Great stuff. And
yeah,
I look forward to the book that you've been working on, because we need books on these topics. All the conspiracy books you're ever going to find in the major chain stores, for the most part, are going to be what I would call blue pill conspiracy theories. These aren't reality decodes. These aren't breakdowns of the script on the level that we do here.
And this is something I found out just with, like, the book, just with doing some research when I was first, like, just kind of giving people a little insight on what I was talking about with a couple books I'm doing. Like, I'm doing one about the world stage and the things that go on, like, around us and everything. And when I was kind of throwing that around and showing people some things, like a couple of our publishers and all of that, they kind of got quiet. So I decided, like, you know what? I said, okay, I'll do Amazon for what I can. But it's like, other than that, I'll just do it myself. I'll do the physical copies and the digital copies myself, you know, for the ones that they want, that they don't want to do. But I'm publishing and doing all this stuff myself, man, because I don't want them. Because one company I showed my book about, smartphone, just a little small part I gave them the editing that they wanted me to do was almost like 30%. So I'm like, no, I want to give everybody my complete thoughts. So it's like, I'm going to do it myself so that I can make sure I don't have to take out anything.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's important because our reality has been curated and gatekept even before the internet, you know, to get through publishers. There's just levels of hoops you have to jump over, compromises. And, you know, I just took up a side gig, a side job for, it's actually a start this weekend, because I don't want to compromise this channel's integrity in order to make money. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say, I have to censor people because they'll kill our channel. For the most part, I want to be a free speech absolutist, and that means that this channel's operating costs are going to come from somewhere outside of these platforms, because they will never allow us in here in our pure form. And we're doing a pure critique. We're doing anthropology. We're in the sense that we are looking at things as they are, and for that reason, I can't use their bias in order to filter what we're talking about.
And that's the reason I tell people that it's like, it's such